It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy today's end. It's called the Refreshing Way. Start your day the Refreshing Way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, enjoy day, the Refreshing.
Good morning and happy Sabbath, everyone. God is good. We're just glad that you're with us today. The Bible says, this is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Psalms 138, I believe, verse 2. I've got to get that right. I know Psalm 122, verse 1 says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And brothers and sisters, it's the Sabbath, the eighth. And so this is a special day, a day that God spends quality time with us, wants us to set aside quality time with him, and we get blessings on the Sabbath that we don't get any other day. It's time for our opening prayer. My wife, Undreamed Of, will take us to the throne of grace at this time.
Father in heaven, we thank you for this time to come together, to be able to open up your word. We thank you for the holy Sabbath day. We thank you for your loving watch care throughout the night. And now we pray for your spirit to teach us the things we need to know as we are fed spiritual food from heaven. Give us our manna, Lord, this morning. We ask all these things to be granted unto us as you anoint the words of our pastor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Our opening song is It's About Time for the Coming of Christ.
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time, O Christian. It's about time. It's about time.
It's about time, O Christian. It's about time.
Amen. Brothers and sisters, God is a good God. We are going to have prayer right now as we talk about the meeting of Jacob and Esau. Father in heaven, thank you so much for your love for us. We thank you for your kindness. We give you praise and glory and honor. We think not of ourselves. That's our problem. We keep thinking of ourselves rather than think about how can we glorify your name and praise your name and represent you. Take our minds off of our feeble selves, off of our weaknesses and fears. For, Lord, you are the God who does not give us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So help us, Lord, to keep journeying toward you and using the wonderful resources that you have provided. We thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. My brothers and sisters, why? I want to ask a question. Why was it that Jacob took this journey to back home? Why was it? He had a million reasons why he didn't have to go there. He had money. He had all that he needed. He could have gone in a different direction. We know God orchestrated things with Laban, as Laban was not fair to him. That would have been his uncle. But Jacob was doing what God said and was going where God led. What I want to tell you is that he had a million reasons why it was not a good idea to do what God said. And we often are called by God to do something, and all we focus on is the million reasons why we don't want. And the reality is, it's something we don't want to give up. That's all it is, brothers and sisters. But we learn from Jacob. He pressed on, knowing that his brother was coming with 400 men of war. He pressed on. God gave him his assurance. He had the word of God and he had a clear understanding that this is where God wanted him to be. And yet he had his life, his family, his wives, his children, his cattle, all could have been lost. But Jacob had faith in God. So my friends, a lot of us don't receive what God has for us because we won't believe what he has said, okay? And the devil, that's what he wants. You see, the devil wanted to put his throne in the sides of the north, it says in Isaiah 14, 12 through 14. Why is that? If you look at the sanctuary in heaven, the north side of the sanctuary was where the table of showbread was. And that represents the word of God. If the devil can keep us from just believing God's word, okay, then, brothers and sisters, you will see that he will triumph. But if you just believe what he said, he's a prayer-answering God. He's a promise keeper. He will not. He can. Two things God cannot do. He cannot lie, the Bible says in Numbers, and he cannot fail. He can't. It's impossible for God to fail, and it's impossible for God to lie. And so, my brothers and sisters, God says, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God and will do that which is right in his sight and will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, his word says, I will put none of these diseases upon thee which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. He said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Some of us don't have peace, brothers and sisters, and that's because we're not obedient to a thus saith the Lord. It's all about following the word. Forgetting about yourself. Don't think about yourself. Don't think about the 400 men of war. Don't think about what you're going to have to give up. Don't think about, I can't do this. I can't do that. You need peace. The Bible says in Isaiah 26:3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on the 400 men of war. whose mind is set on what's going to happen to me. No, whose mind is stayed on thee. Why? Because he trusted in thee. So one of those verses I read was Exodus 15, 26. One of those verses I read was Psalms 103, 1, 2, and 3, and then you have Isaiah 26, 3. Jacob, even with the risk of his own life lost, he obeyed, thus saith the Lord. And Jacob lifted up his eyes. We're in Genesis 33. And by the way, we're having Sabbath service at 12, so we are not going to have our wellness segment of the broadcast today. So please join us at 12. The Zoom ID is 557-587-3947. And also, we have a link that we send out. It's going to be on Facebook. We do also send it on WhatsApp. So if you also want to receive that link, just send me a text if you'd like to receive that link. Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, Esau came, and with him 400 men. He divided the children unto Leah and unto Rachel and unto the two handmaids. And he put the handmaids and their children foremost, and Leah and her children after, and Rachel and Joseph hindermost. And he passed over before them and bowed himself to the ground seven times until he came near to his brother. You see, brothers and sisters, there are preachers that are more like Esau, and there are preachers that are more like Jacob. Esau was concerned more about his empire, his entourage, his, you know, that's why he wanted that blessing from his father, not because of the spiritual blessing, which Jacob craved. He wanted the inheritance. Firstborn, I want to get a double portion of all the cattle. Basically, that meant he got all the money. You see, that was money to them. And that's what he wanted. And a lot of times as preachers, we think we're doing God's will because we're preaching, and we might even be preaching truth, but we're more concerned about how our ministry looks and how our ministry is prospering. And unfortunately, what that does, that happens at the expense of humility often. It happens at the expense of people who need to be treated with kindness, who don't need to be ignored, who need personal ministry, you see. But we're concerned about our image. That was Esau. Jacob, he was blessed of God, and he was more concerned about the spiritual blessings that came along. He knew that through his lineage, Jesus would come. And so he was the one who took the lead in practicing humility, my friends. Now, that humility did work, and God moved upon the heart of Esau. Jacob, remember we learned yesterday, he prayed as though everything depended on God, but then he worked and did everything he could to make things right with his brother. He had harmed his brother. He had deceived his father and took from his brother the birthright, both by manipulating him with when he was at his weakest with the food, and then also when the blessing from the father came, he pretended to be his brother. And so we've all sinned, and sometimes it's our sin that we focus on, and we let it get us down, and we, because we have sinned, we focus on our sin and don't believe God can heal us, help us, bless us, and we're just drowning in our guilt. Oh, my brothers and sisters, there is no single sin that is the unpardonable sin. And if it's pardonable, that means it's forgivable. God can heal us and bless us. Some people think murder is the unpardonable sin. It is not. David was a murderer. Others have murdered, and they are going to be saved because they repented. There are consequences to sin, but there is also forgiveness. And some of you think sexual sins are the unpardonable sin. They are not. There's not a single as bad as some of them are, because, you know, sin is all sin, but there are degrees. I think most people would agree that certain types of sins, certain types of sexual sins might be worse than others. But the point being made, brothers and sisters, is that that's not the unpardonable sin. there will be many who will be saved who have gotten involved in those types of things. Oh, my brothers and sisters, Jesus is greater than that, and he is more powerful than that. And when you have the Spirit of God on you, it's more powerful than any urge to eat anything or do anything you ought not do. And that's what the devil doesn't want you to know. He doesn't want you to have that experience. So some of you won't take the journey. You just won't take the journey because you don't want to give up something. But I'm here to tell you that there is nothing worth holding on to, brothers and sisters, that would keep you away from God. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. God's arms are stretched out still. He's just, but he did say, come. You see, he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Do you know that even when a person is possessed by the devil cannot control your will? Did you know that? You see, we learn from Ephesians chapter 6, the devil does his dirt in stages. He first lies, then he tempts, then he controls, then he possesses. Can I prove that from the Bible? Yes. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Principality is the one who's first. The Bible says the devil is the father. That means he's the beginning of lies. Then there's powers. Well, powers are the temptations that we have. And you know temptations do have power. And that's why we fall into temptation. And the devil has different imps, angels that specialize in certain things. Some specialize in tempting you to lust. Some specialize in tempting you to steal. Some specialize in tempting you to doubt. Some specialize in tempting you to drink. Some specialize, but it's all the devil and his angels. They are much more, they are much weaker than Christ and his angels. And at the sound of fervent prayer, Satan's whole host trembles. Just pray. Satan can't overwhelm you while you pray, brothers and sisters. And so I'm here to tell you God is there to deliver and here to deliver. So, friends, there is no sin that cannot be forgiven, and God can give you the victory. He doesn't want us to sin because it has its own consequences, brothers and sisters. You eat the wrong food, you're going to suffer the consequences. Amen? You do some of the wrong things, you're going to suffer some consequences. But guess what? Even the consequences, God will be with you in the consequences. And all have sinned and fallen short, so all have we're all receiving the consequences of sin. Guess what? There is peace in the valley, as it says. There is peace of mind that we can have. Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. That's a beautiful song, my brothers and sisters. I don't know if I can find it here. Let me see if I can find it. Listen to this, friends.
Far away in the depths of my spirit tonight rose a melody sweeter than psalm. In celestial-like strains it unceasingly falls, o'er my soul like an infinite calm. Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in fathomless billows of love. What a treasure I have in this wonderful peace, buried deep in my innermost soul. So secure that no power can mine it away, while the years of eternity roll. Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray.
pray. In fathomless billows of love, I believe when I rise to that city of peace, where the author of peace I shall see. That one strain of the song which the ransomed will sing in that heavenly kingdom will be peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in fathomless billows of love. Weary soul without gladness or comfort or rest, passing down the rough pathway of time, make the Savior your friend ere the shadows grow dark. Oh, accept of this peace so sublime. Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in fathomless billows of love.
Brothers and sisters, that's what Jacob understood. He understood how to have peace, and so he was obedient even in the storm, even in the storm of the threat that he would lose his family, his children, his wives, and his own life. He listened to the word of God, and that brought him peace. And look at what God did. God directed him to send drove after drove after drove of gifts to Esau. And as he approached Esau, he wasn't worshiping Esau. That was not a bow that is a worshipful bow. Just like in the Orient, it is a show of respect. We don't need to, it's all right to bow if it is for the show of respect. I won't bow down to the Pope, because that bowing is understood to be an honor to that's a worshipful, reverential bow, okay? So we're not supposed to do that, brothers and sisters. As a matter of fact, let me share something with you. A lot of people make the mistake when they find out that I'm a pastor, that they like, because we've been taught something, and I want to correct it real quickly. Let me see here. The Bible says in Psalms 111, verse 9, it says, he sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name. Friends, you should never call a man reverend. You're basically saying you are God on earth. And that came from Roman Catholicism, and it is passed on to Protestant churches. So reverend so-and-so, reverend so-and-so. No, holy and reverend is his name. That's the name of the Lord, friend. And so we should be called pastors, ministers, elders, those are bishops, if you want to call them that. But that's even perverted. You see, in the Bible, every elder was a bishop. That's what it was. The bishop wasn't this hierarchical leader that had everybody else or a bunch of people under his venue or control or leadership, so to speak. It wasn't like that. All of them were across the board leaders. Now, there were apostles, and they had leadership roles, but it wasn't a single person. It was a group of apostles that God had led to do the higher level administrative leadership role and setting up of the church. But they were bishops themselves. They were elders. So every elder in the church, brothers and sisters, is technically a bishop. A bishop had to be the husband of one wife and had to carry himself in a certain way. So we've got a lot of perversions out there. And that came from Roman Catholicism too. the Pope is the highest, and then he's got cardinals under him, and I don't even know how they do it. And then you got the archbishops, and then you've got the bishops, and then you've got the priests. It's this hierarchical system, and many churches are set up in the same way, brothers and sisters, with this hierarchical system. Even in certain churches where you have one president, you weren't really supposed to have one president. There were supposed to be several presidents over the field, and they would all work together, meet together, so on and so forth. But we've succumbed to Roman Catholicism in this hierarchical structure, and it has not done us well, brothers and sisters. And so I am here to tell you that we need to give up all these things that came from Rome. Sometimes pastors lead their churches in ways that are just like the Bishop of Rome. The pastor decides everything. And I'm not trying to say he doesn't have an oversight and must teach the people the way and the will of God and have some roles of leadership. But the point being made is some people just they promote a concept that whatever the pastor says goes. Whatever the you can't question it. You can't give advice. There's no collaboration of minds. It's just the pastor comes up with the ideas. That's how it rolls, and that's what the people must follow. And so, my brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you God does it differently, and we can learn from the humility of Jacob. So it says he and Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. And he lifted up his eyes and saw the women and the children and said, "Who are those with thee?" And he said, "The children which God hath graciously given thy servant." You see how he's still humble? Because, see, he messed up. He stole his brother's birthright, but he was humble and he was apologetic. And that's something that's so lacking in the ministry, brothers and sisters. We don't have humble ministers that are willing to say, "Listen, I didn't handle this right. I'm sorry. Please forgive me." That's all it takes. Too proud to do that. Too proud to do that. Yet we're preaching. And I'm going to tell you something. God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. And I'm going to tell you the ones who will actually get to finish this work will be the humble vessels, brothers and sisters. The proud vessels are doing a work, but they're not going to be the main ones finishing the work. They might be popular now. You might see them all plastered all over everywhere right now. But I'm here to tell you it's the humble people that God is going to use. The Bible says, "Then the handmaids came near, and they and their children, and they bowed themselves. And Leah also with her children came near and bowed themselves. And after came Joseph near, and Rachel, and they bowed themselves. And he said, 'What meanest thou by all this drove which I met?' And he said, 'These are to find grace in the sight of my Lord.' And Esau said, 'I have enough, my brother. Keep that thou hast unto thyself.' And Jacob said, 'Nay, I pray thee, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then receive my present at my hand. For therefore I have seen thy face as though I had seen the face of God, and thou wast pleased with me.'" You see that humility? He wasn't calling him God. He was just, in any way, just saying, "Listen, it was like I just wanted to see your face and just be accepted." He knew what he had done. He had repented. "Take, I pray thee, my blessing that is brought to thee, because God hath dealt graciously with me, and because I have enough." And he urged him, and he took it. And he said, "Let us take our journey, and let us go, and I will go before thee." This is Esau talking. And he said unto him, "My lord, knowest that the children are tender, and the flocks and herds with young are with me. And if men should overdrive them one day, all the flock will die. Let my lord, I pray thee, pass over before his servant, and I will lead on softly, according as the cattle that goeth before me, and the children be able to endure, until I come unto my lord in unto Seir." And Esau said, "Let me now leave with thee some of the folk that are with me." And he said, "What needeth it? Let me find grace in the sight of my lord." See, Esau was, all about protection and all of that. And Jacob was like, "Look, God protected me from you. I don't have to worry about anybody else. If he protected me already, I'll be all right. You just go ahead. Let me just move on softly with the children and with the animals. I will see you when I get there." And Esau returned that day on his way to Seir. And Jacob journeyed to Succoth and built him a house and made booths for his cattle. Therefore, the name of the place is called Succoth. Jacob came to Shalem, a city of Shechem, which is in the land of Canaan. And when he came from Padan Aram and pitched his tent before the city, and he bought a parcel of field where he had spread his tent, at the hand of the children of Hamor, Shechem's father, for 100 pieces of money, and he erected there an altar and called it El Elohi Israel. My brothers and sisters, Jacob obeyed. He went. Despite all of the obstacles that were troubling his mind, he went. And brothers and sisters, if we would just obey, do it. Oh, God will see us through. We've got to obey, thus said the Lord, my friends. It's all about loving God enough to be obedient. He loved us enough to send his son. We can love him enough to be obedient. My brothers and sisters, it's time to wrap it up today. We are going to close early. We're not going to have the wellness segment, but we will be on at 12. Look for a Facebook invitation. Look for an invitation if you're on our WhatsApp list. We will be talking about a very important topic that deals with what is happening now in the last days of this earth's history. So may God bless you, friends. May God keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, and give you peace today. Father in heaven, thank you so much for this message. We thank you for the wonderful peace that we saw in Jacob and how he was obedient to a thus said the Lord. And with all of the obstacles in his way and all the fears of what might happen and all the fears of what he would go through, he was obedient to your word. We pray that we will do that and we will place ourselves in your hands and just leave ourselves there to whatever would happen. We will trust you. We thank you, Lord, in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. My brothers and my sisters, may God bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you and give you peace. All right, it's time now for us to close out. I will just ask my wife if she would have a final closing prayer and then lead out in the fourth commandment. Sweetheart.
Father in heaven, we thank you for this time of worship. We thank you for your word. And we pray now, Lord, as we continue in the holy sacredness of your Sabbath, that we can remember to come to you, spending quality time, and pressing forth those petitions we need to answer for us. We ask, Lord, that you would bless everyone on this line in a special way as you continue to allow your spirit to lead, guide, direct, and instruct our lives. We pray, Father, for spiritual healings to be granted to all that are in need. We ask for mental and for physical healings as well. And we ask for that we will be faithful to you and work with you in accordance with the laws you have set before us. Help us to be in obedience and help us to be able to surrender every sin unto you, Lord, so that we can gain the victory of having the life that Christ has set before us. Let us do all we can to do our part. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor the cattle, nor the stranger that's within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested on the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Happy Sabbath, and God bless you.
I do want to recognize before we go, we have a dear sister on Facebook. Thank you for joining us today. May God bless you. Also, we have on the call, we have North Carolina. I'm sorry, let me start from the top. We have Ohio. We have Ohio again. We have a new caller. I believe that's from the Philadelphia area. Welcome. I may send you a text. So if you get a text from a 706 number, it will be our Zoom invitation at 12 o'clock for worship. And feel free to call back or reach out. We'd love to chat with you and know who you are. We have Maryland on the line. We have Delaware, 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 and Delaware again. We have Iowa. We have Oklahoma and Georgia. May God bless and keep all of you in his holy name. All right, my friends, God is good. At this time, we will close out our broadcast with our closing prayer, which is, I will trust in the Lord. Happy Sabbath.
I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord till I die. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord till I die. I will worship the Lord. I will worship the Lord. I will worship.